Be seated. Been getting lots of questions, of course, about Pastor this morning with his heart and his kidney. Mrs. Walsh gave a update on Wednesday, so this is old. This is older news. They moved him to Jefferson in Philadelphia only because neither one of the issues that he's dealing with, his heart and his kidney, neither one of those are ridiculously difficult to deal with. It's just the fact that they're both there at the same time that they wanted to move him to a place that they had a good team for both of those that could be present together. So they moved him to Jefferson, and they were just going to throw him on an ambulance and take him over there, but there wasn't one available. So he got to ride in style and go by helicopter, not because it was a dangerous thing, but just because that was the only vehicle they had available. So he got to fly over to Philly, and then he was able to call in as soon as he got there and say hi to everybody during the ministry appreciation banquet. So that was fun that we were able to do that. We're hoping, I'm not going to promise you this because something always happens random, but we're hoping that he should be able to call in actually in the morning service here at 10:30 and say hi to the congregation. So keep your fingers crossed and hopefully that we can do that. But they do seem more positive with some of the ways that they're going to be able to deal with some things. They say it is kind of tricky, a little bit of a balancing act. But they do seem positive with being able to deal with it. They said, we've seen plenty worse, and they've been fine. And so keep them in your prayers. Hopefully we'll see him here in a little bit. Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We barely got started last week, so I apologize. And I actually thought, well, we'll just finish up last week's sermon that we were going to finish, and then we'll move on. But then as I began to study it more, I got plenty of material. So this is part two of the exact same lesson, and I'm going to try to keep it short. I found that if you just cut sermons in half, you get out on time. Brother Brian, I think it was, put a clock on. Was that both of you? Did you conspire together, or did nobody going to? Everyone's going to blame the other one. There was a clock on the music stand this morning, basically to remind me what time it was. So I'll try to get you all out in normal time. But we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to read the first four verses in the very beginning of the fifth one. The fifth verse starts into a new section, but I wanted today to draw your attention to something that's at the very beginning of it this morning. So let's read our verses again as we begin. Verse number 1 of 2 Peter. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the beginning of the fifth verse, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We're going to continue what we were talking about last week about what growth takes. Last week we mentioned the theme, as much as I can find of 2 Peter, is that God wants us to grow even more. God wants us to grow taller. God wants us to continue to grow. As I began to study through the entire book of 2 Peter and try to find a unifying theme, I noticed, as I mentioned last week, that Peter does not rebuke them for things that they're doing wrong. Peter does not give them a lot of truth that he indicates that they didn't know already. He seems to assume that they already knew the things that he told them because he uses words like remember a lot. He tells them to beware of false teachers, not because they've been listening to false teachers, as some apostles would write in their epistles, but more bewaring of false teachers because they were in danger of getting off of the path that they were currently on. He tells them to bring back to their remembrance things that they learned, to stay diligent in the path that they are. And so the theme that I find in 2 Peter is not a lot of brand new information to these people. And remember, this is the second book he writes to these scattered Christians all around this area. This is the second book. And so they've already received the first one. They've already been taught, and they've already apparently begun to grow, and according to 2 Peter, that they've listened to all the things he taught them in the first book. It's very possible they've been living their lives like they're strangers to this world and citizens of heaven. They've been living pure. They've been living with that goal in mind. And so in spite of all that, he still writes the second book because there was still more for them to learn. There was still more for them to grow. And they still needed to remember the things that they had been given. And so last week, we looked at just the introduction of the book before he starts to apply it in a couple different ways. Just the introduction, and we talked about
the things that growth makes, the things that is involved in growth. The first we talked about last week, and I gave it to you again, growth makes humility. We said that means remembering where you started. You remember that in the very first verse, as opposed to the first book, he called himself Simon Peter instead of just Peter. Simon was his regular name. Remembering where he began, we remember letter B, that position is still service. Just because he was an
Yes.
Oh, wow. Speak from your diaphragm speech, students. There you go. Only a couple of you got that. All right. And see, that's what we do. The fact is, faith is only our faith is placed in what we know of God. Faith is not independent of reason. That's a belief system called fideism. That means I just have faith just because I do. And that's what a lot of Christians live. Well, I do because that's what we've always done. I have faith that Christianity is right. I have faith that God will take care of me. I have faith that God's better because my parents did. And that puts all faith on the exact same level. Faith is not in just because you want to practice it. Faith is in God's person. You know who God is, and so you believe that God is better. And you believe that God is right and that he will take care of it. Faith in God's person, but how does that apply itself? Faith in God's power. Letter B, faith in God's power. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. It is through God's power that we are saved and not through our own. It is through God's power that we stay saved and not on our own. And it is through God's power that we grow and not on our own. And I think a lot of our issues with our Christian life and with faith is that we want to trust God for some things and then not other things. And we can just generalize that and say, even with our Christian life and what it means to be a Christian, to stay a Christian, to know that I have a hope in heaven, and even to practice the sanctification process of becoming more and more like Christ, a lot of times we try to take some of them with God's power and some of them in our power. And God's power is what we need for all of it. We can't get to heaven in our own power. We can't stay saved in our own power. We can't make sure that our place in heaven is reserved in our own power. And we can't grow in our own power. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. When is the last time that you actually prayed to the Lord for help in a specific temptation? You know, I'm going through this, and I don't think I can get out of this on my own. God, I need your help. I need your power. We're like, you know what? I'm going to pray for that ahead of time, but I'm not going to actually rely on it during it, because during the issue and during the temptation and during that time when I could go off course, I'm just going to make sure that I don't. We say, no, God's power has given us to all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How much do you lean on him? How much do you trust that it is through God that you grow and not through your own fortitude? 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not wholly like righteous, but wholly like completely. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God wants you to be completely like him, but he will be the one that does it in your life. It will be his power and not in yours. And the more you rely on him, the more that you'll see that. It's faith in God's power. Letter C, it's also faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So we should know them, but we should also trust in them. Faith is action based on a promise and a command of God. A good example, this is a few verses away. He says this in verse 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. See, what God says here is if you obey me, you don't have to disobey me. If you add to your faith and you grow more like me, then God does not require that you fall into sin. So you're like, well, I don't really know if that's what it means. He says, no, if you trust in me, I'll actually help you. And sometimes we read the Bible and we get this fuzzy feeling of presence and assistance, but we don't actually see the promises that God gives us as being legitimate, that we can actually put stock in, that we can actually take steps toward, and that takes faith, that God's promises are true, that God doesn't lie. 2 Corinthians 2 says, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. He says, if I said it, I will make it good. And so the reason why it's so important to study God's word is to find the things we can base on. Both of those take faith. I think one of the reasons why we don't study God's word is because if we did, we would find something, but I think half the time we're not sure if it's really true or really legitimate or actually applicable to us. And so it's not like we search for the promises so we can apply them. because we don't expect that when we find them, we can actually put them into practice. We have to practice faith in God's promises. Letter D, faith, lastly, in God's provision. Faith in God's provision. Not that we have money in our bank, but look what he says. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, if you rely on me, you have faith in me, you know me better, you know my word better, I have given to you everything that you need to grow. And we have to trust that we have been provided everything that we need. I have given you all things that pertain to life and to godliness, because you can be partakers of the divine nature and you can escape the corruption that's in this world through lust, because I have given you everything that you need. And remember, we reminded ourselves about the end of 2 Timothy 3 in verse 17, that God gave us to his word so that we could be thoroughly furnished. We are completely equipped. We have everything at our fingertips. It's just whether or not we use it. He says, you've been given everything to life and to godliness. The word life, he means, is active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed, and the portion even in this world of those who trust in Christ. Godliness, the word there means to have a love and a reverence of God and his character. Everything that God desires for your life, he's given you everything to practice it. It's like when you order something online, order a piece of furniture, and you get the box and it comes to you, and the first thing in the inside flap of the cover of your instruction manual that you may or may not use, that's up to you, but the first thing on the inside of the cover is the list of every single bolt and every single washer and every size and every screw and every wooden dowel that is in there. And it's basically telling you, now, here's this piece of furniture, and contained in this little box, I have given you every single tiny little piece that you need in order to make that piece of furniture. And when you open God's word, God says to you, now you, there's a lot of things that you need to live the Christian life and to grow. But just so you know, every nut and bolt that you need, I have given to you. And it is here, and it's up to you if you follow the directions and if you use everything that I've provided. We have to have faith that we have enough. The people who don't use the instructions are the ones who turn around and say, I was missing a piece. There was a bolt that was not in here. But those who do recognize that they had everything they needed as long as they followed God's way of doing it. Number five. Growth takes a calling. I'm going to make these last two really quick and I'll be done. Growth takes a calling. These last two I noticed between last week and this week, so I thought I would throw them in here. Look at the end of verse 3. I thought this was interesting. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The fact is, through all these things, there are many Christians who have come to the conclusion that if they don't want to grow, then they won't grow. And they maybe just miss out on some things that I said would be available to you. See, the word calling insinuates a privilege. You've been called to grow. You've been called to obtain glory and virtue, but it also insinuates responsibility. You've been called of God to grow. You've been called to glory and virtue. The only alternative to growth, therefore, is disobedience, because you have been called to grow ever closer to Christ. Remember, this book is written to people who have listened to the things given to them before. And they could have gotten to the point and said, you know what, I think I'm good now. And he says, no, you've been called to more than this, so you ought to do it. One day, you know, we're going to have to stand in front of the Lord and give an account for what we did in our life. But the fact is, in addition to all the things that we did with the time we have, one of those things is going to be, did you grow? We talk about whether or not somebody's called in the ministry, or somebody's called to be a Sunday school teacher, or somebody's called to do something for the Lord, or called to give something to the Lord, or called to serve him in another state. And you know what? This verse says you are called to grow. God told you to grow. God will give you the resources to grow, but God has told you to. You have been called to. You have not been structured as a Christian not to grow. You've been genetically structured to grow. The fact is, babies will be born very, very small. They will not be born full adults. We don't expect them to be. But they are genetically structured to grow. They've been given everything inside of them to get bigger, to grow strong, to be helpful to other people. Everything is inside of that. And we have been designed to grow. And we have been told to grow. We have the privilege to grow, but we also have the responsibility to grow. Growth takes a calling. But number six, growth takes diligence. It is through God's power, but we do have to apply ourselves. We can't just sit back and say, God will take care of it and I will grow. That's why in verse 5, he says, beside this, God was the first part. It's faith in him. It's through his promises. It's through knowledge of him. It's through everything that he's given to us. It's through his power. But beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Growing in the Lord is one of those things that we can keep on just pushing off and just say, you know what, I'll get to that later, and one day I'll grow, one day it'll be important. You've been called, but you have to be diligent to do it. And sometimes it seems like it's not really that big of a step that we have to take, but we just have to take the steps that we have, that we've been told. We just have to respond. We just have to be faithful and be obedient. When we first moved into our house, there was a lot of things that were kind of junky. It had been vacant for a little while. Our garden was messy. There were stones in it, but also that landscape fabric, and they were all coming up together. And this big bush covering our front door. We couldn't even see our front door. And we got rid of all of that. But one of the things we found when we first moved in was this shutter, a window shutter that had fallen off, and it was sitting against the side of our house. And you know how easy it is to put in a shutter. You just make sure you have the hole right. You get the pin. You push the pin in, and it's done. It was on the third floor, though, that it was missing, of course. And so I told Sam, you know, no worries. You know, we'll make sure our house is decorated. We'll get the garden nice. I'll stick that shutter up. I just, 2 weeks ago, put that shutter up. First of all, I will say this. I did attempt to do it like a year and a half ago with somebody, but it was on the third floor, and our ladder was not tall enough. And you know what? It's one of those things where you're like, well, yeah, I'll get to that like next month. I'll get to that a couple weeks from now. It's not that big of a step, but you do have to just, you know, do it. And that's sometimes that's what we do with little steps that God tells us. Some of them are big, but some of them are small, and we're just not diligent enough to say, yes, I will obey. Yes, I will do it. And we say, well, I'll just get to that. You've been called to grow. You've been given everything to grow, and you can grow, and God wants you to grow even more. And so continue to grow taller. We're going to continue that on, and we're going to see what God wants us to add to our faith next week, and we'll move on from there. So let's pray, and we'll have a couple quick prayer requests, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for the time that we have together this morning. I pray that you would help us all to grow even more. Help us to have faith in you. Help us to know you more, and help us to respond in obedience to take the steps that you put in our way. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. Pray that you'd be at these many prayer requests we're about to hear. Give us the understanding we need as we minister to other people in our influence, but I pray that you would take care of all of those who are in the hospital and those who are dealing with medical issues, Lord, that you would intervene there. So, Lord, we ask for your help in those areas. But we put the service into your hands here in just a moment. We pray this in your name. Amen.